Lord, speak to me. Speak to me. Lord, you know what is wrong with me. Speak to me. You know that I need your comfort. Speak to me. You know what I need. Speak to me. You know the instruction I need. Speak to me. Fill me with your Spirit. Speak to me, Lord. We drink the same Spirit. Lord, in Jesus' name. Just say a prayer to the Lord in your own heart, your own way. Speak to me, Lord. Not just this morning, but Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Thursday night, Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon. Speak to me, Lord. Speak to me. Yes, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Do you remember the story of King Saul? And you know that God stopped talking to him. Do you remember the story? God, there was King Saul, the anointed king. God stopped talking to him. And what happened to him? Well, what happened? Where did he go when God stopped talking? And then Samuel died. The prophet was gone. And then what did Saul do? He went to a witch. Why did he go to a witch? Because God stopped talking to him. Isn't that amazing? The song was, what? Speak to me. When God speaks to you, then you have something going on in your heart and it stirs you up. You get some thoughts from the Holy Spirit in your mind that are right from this amazing book. And this is when the words of Christ, he said, man does not live by bread alone. Another way of saying the stomach. Not by my stomach alone or my hormones alone. Or by the television or my best friend or even the good things in life. Snow skiing or boating. Or chess, playing chess, but man must live by every word that comes from God's mouth. Yeah. Isn't that good? All right, so kind of get that in your heart. Would you stand with me, please? And turn to your neighbor and say, remember that God speaks to us. Remember that. Turn to your neighbor and just say, I love you. God speaks to us. And say to your neighbor, may God really bless you this week. May God really bless you this week. Especially if your neighbor is your wife. Say that to your wife, your husband. May God really bless you this week. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. Isaiah 59, this is the whole chapter. I don't know if you have the capacity to listen to the preaching on the whole chapter of chapter 59. How many think I'm underestimating you? Yeah. Only four hands. Like everybody goes, you're right. You're right. I can't handle the whole chapter. Not going to happen. All right. It is good to have Pastor Walsh here in Mauduka. That's amazing. That's amazing. Yeah. And Pastor Plunkett is here, and others have got to see Doug and Bethany Pearson. It's great to see them. We had a graduation yesterday for our high school. It was fantastic. It was amazing. There was not a dry eye in the room when Zane Turk talked about his mother. We were all just collapsed on the floor. It was amazing. He was a valedictorian, and he did such a good job. It was amazing. Okay. I'm going to have you sit in a minute. One little lesson. This is the earth. Right there, do you see it? There's the earth. Right in the middle. Do you see the earth? Can't you tell? Bassier, do you see yourself there? All right, there is a comet that goes around the earth in an orbit. This comet comes by every, well, I'll tell you in a little bit later, 1682, it came by and it was observed, like it is every time it comes past. And there was a mathematician, a friend of Sir Isaac Newton, who by mathematics predicted it would come again in 75 years. That was in 1758 it came again. 17 years before it came, that mathematician died. And the scientific community realized that he got it right. And his name was Halley. This is Halley's Comet. Comes by every 75 years. My question is, how did he figure it out? How did he know that? How could the universe be so logically understood? There are laws and rules that are in the universe that are simply not broken. And this man understood mathematically about this comet, and he got it right. Okay, you may be seated. Ask your neighbor, what is he talking about? Turn to your neighbor and tell you, what on earth, why did I go to church today? I didn't go to come to astronomy school. Listen, in the book of Isaiah, God is dealing with a country, a nation, a people that should know him. And he writes it in the very first chapter of Isaiah. Many of us who have been in the ministry know that Dr. Stevens loved this portion of Scripture. The ox knows his owner, the ass his master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people do not consider. We could say that a little differently. The salmon that go down the rivers in Oregon, they swim to Japan and back in a year. They do it again another year. 4 years they swim from Oregon to Japan. And then in their fourth year, they go up the same river that they came down as small fish. How do they know that? How do birds migrate, or actually birds migrate all, birds, but this is a marvel, butterflies from Canada migrate to Mexico, and Mexico, they go back to the same place in Canada, and it takes 8 generations of monarch butterflies to do the trip. Because, they're not the fastest thing on the earth. If you've noticed that. Read the verse again. The ox knows his owner. The salmon know what they're doing. The monarch butterflies know what is going on. You have insects that know what is happening. But Israel does not know. May we add the United States of America. Do not know. Could we add all human beings throughout history have a problem violating laws? Now, what we have up on the screen is a physical law of immaterial gravitational forces and energy and so on. And this is not violated, and therefore it is predictable, because God, like in the words of Einstein, and I don't pretend to be a smarty guy here today, but he did say God does not play dice with the universe. It's not one way, one day, another way, another time. There are laws in this world. Physical laws, like the law of gravity, and moral laws. And we could just put here the word guilt. Isn't it amazing? Have you ever experienced guilt? Ask your neighbor. No, I have no idea what he's talking about. It is powerful. It's undeniable. It is real. When the psychological, I don't know where it came from, but they said if I had a pill, the psychologist or psychiatrist, if I had a pill for guilt, I would heal 85% of my patients. It is a law of human nature. There is a moral law written in us. And if you violate it, there are consequences. When there are also spiritual laws, and I want to just put down there's many words I could say, but I'm trying to just capture the concept. I'll put down the word, we've got the word guilt, and there's a spiritual law, there is holiness, and I'll put down the word blood. But not any blood, but the blood of Christ. Spiritual power that comes from the atonement of the Christ on the cross. Somebody say, oh, blood doesn't mean, what are you talking about? That's just some religious language. Yes, it is to you. But when you discover who Christ is and what his blood does, that he takes away guilt. In Hebrews 9:14, when you realize that you are a free person, wow, you when you worship God by the Holy Spirit of God, you cannot deny it. You say, wow, that is real, that is powerful, and so is sin, is real and powerful. Well, in the book of Isaiah, we have the degradation of the nation and the sickness of the human race here described in verses 5 and 6. Why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. Those two phrases, the whole head is sick, the heart is faint, should be in our vocabulary of understanding that the human race has lost its orientation as to what kind of way that a man should live, how he should think in his head, his thought life, and then what should be important in his heart. I said in the graduation message yesterday, and I have a lot of papers here, and I don't know if I'm going to shuffle through them to find it, but I have a lot of references. But I don't want to get distracted and turn, but I could be quoting and so on. But in the research that was done with American Education, I believe it was in California, they did a survey with young people by starting a story about a car outside in the schoolyard. The school is empty. In the car, on a foggy, misty morning, the voice of your teacher comes from the car. And so they set this literary short story beginning and asked the students to finish the story. A voice of my teacher coming from an abandoned car in the schoolyard on a dark, misty, foggy morning. So the children wrote stories about violence, murder, sex. Their stories were about the things that basically, of course, what goes in their head when they watch movies and play video games. And I have that material here, but I don't want to dig it up because I don't want to lose you by shuffling through the papers. One student wrote about the teacher being raped in the car. Another one about murder, about a K-47, all of this type of material. And come to find out, the children that were writing these things were in the third, fourth, and fifth grade. What is in the head and the heart of a third grader? My people have found another way. Not me, but they have found another way. And this is what Isaiah is saying at the very beginning of his book. And we'll look now at chapter 59 and see what he is saying here and what we can learn from it. Verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue has muttered perverseness. We might say, where is the blood on my hands? And we would say, you've never murdered anyone. I do not doubt that. But somebody said in America, one of the most dangerous places to be in America is in your mother's womb. More than 1 million babies a year are aborted. Well, there's no blood on my hands. Well, did you tell your girlfriend to get an abortion? There's no perverseness in my lips. Are you sure what you are embracing? And be careful with what I'm saying, because I'm not saying any of these things to condemn, nor am I out after anybody, nor do I want this service today to be anything other than edifying. But I want to say that in our country, there are messages that are coming constantly that reflect in a parallel way where Israel was, where they would say, you know, I want to have the good life, but I don't want God. We can study God and think about God, but don't have God as a backdrop for everything. We could say it in a diagram this way. goes like this: psychology, sociology, biology, astronomy, physics, engineering, computer science, and so on, and theology. That's how our life should be. Yes, you can study theology. Yes, you can believe in God as you please. That's your business. But don't bring it in to the public marketplace of ideas. Don't make it the foundation of your life. But this diagram could be drawn this way. It goes like this: biology, sociology, psychology, computer science, physics, so on, all of this. And then God, who's the author of it all, who ties it all together, who made it, who says that I am the Alpha and the Omega. You need wisdom to understand all these things and also how they relate one to another. But when I don't want God in my life, then I'll have knowledge but lack the wisdom. Wisdom is the application of the knowledge. Wisdom in the Jewish mind worked. That's the key. The Greek mind, it is theoretical. The Jewish mind is that it works. That I might not be so smart, but I live a fruitful life. I might not have an explanation for everything, but I know the God that does. I might not know exactly how this thing is going to go, but I will trust in the Lord with all my heart, lean not on my own understanding. In all my ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct my path. And at the end of the day, I'll say, I'm amazed that it happened. Thank you, Lord. You know, Sir Isaac Newton, that great physicist and mathematician, who was also a great theologian and a fervent believer, was great because not only he had the skills, but he also knew where the skills came from. He was a worshiper of God. And the Lord is saying, you need me, but my people, the ones that use my name, the ones that have my book, the ones that understand, the ones that I taught about blood and priesthood and sacrifice and the veil, and how that I am the one for you. I am the living God. I am the I am. They have forsaken me. And this is what happened to them. This is what the chapter is saying. This is what happened to them. Follow it with me. Verse 4. None calls for justice, nor any pleads for truth. There's something missing there. They trust in vanity, speak lies. They conceive mischief, bring forth iniquity. They have an article, Johns Hopkins psychiatrist, transgender is mental disorder. Sex change biologically is impossible. And in this article, he talks also about not only did they do these, and he was a chair of psychiatry at Hopkins Hospital. I believe that is so, in very high position, and says that it cannot happen. You cannot change the sex. You masculinize a woman and you feminize a man, but you cannot change their sex. And in the cases where they did, they studied it, and they don't do it anymore because the suicide rate after, they call it reassignment surgery, is 20 times higher than the suicide rate among non-transgender people. It's a psychological disorder. And point 0.5% of 1% people have this desire. And then he points out regarding children, It says, the pro-transgender advocates do not want to know, said McHugh, that studies show between 70-80% of children who express transgender feelings spontaneously lose those feelings over time. Read the verse again. They trust in vanity, speak lies, they conceive mischief, bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs. You might say, what does that mean? Cockatrice eggs. Those are eggs of snakes. Well, if you have a whole batch of snake eggs, what are you going to do with them? Well, I would, if I don't want the snakes around, I would kill them when they are at the egg stage. I don't have to deal with them when they start moving like this. When do you get rid of them? When they are in the egg stage. You don't let them mature. You deal with them way before the hatching happens. What is our culture doing? Sowing these eggs in the minds and hearts of children who don't have the capacity to handle such a lie and suffer for it. There's other eggs. Legalizing marijuana. Encouraging adultery in our Hollywood movies and way of life. And at your office, maybe. Oh, isn't it cute? Isn't it fun? Isn't it a thrill? Isn't it sinister? Isn't it deliciously wicked? Yes, it happens. Then do you pick up the pieces afterwards? Not only are there broken hearts and betrayal, all of that stuff that we say, well, what you mean that's an egg? And it's fun to have it around, but when it hatches and does its evil work, now you got to pick up the pieces and heal the people. That is not a pleasant message, adultery. It is a wicked one, a betrayal. Has it ever happened to you? Have someone who has been betrayed by someone they loved and gave their heart to? The betrayal is painful. These people are this all big joke, the whole thing. Or worse, they are evil people deliberately planting cockatrice eggs in our culture. Marijuana, 5 times more carcinogenic than tobacco. More cancer, throat cancer, mouth cancer. I had a friend who had mouth cancer. And surgeries, and finally he died painfully in an ugly way. Terrible story. Why would I have anything to do with anything that would lead me in that possibility? But my people love to have it so. Jeremiah 5, 32. Okay. Verse 5. They hatch serpent eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eats of their eggs dies. We'll talk about spider's web in a minute. He that eats of their eggs dies. That which is crushed breaks out into a viper. I think our church life is to deal with the eggs. They're going to hatch. You keep them around long enough, they will hatch and they will bite you. Why have them around? I think our church life and fellowship with each other is a better society than anything that is on the earth when the Holy Spirit is in it. When the Holy Spirit is not in the fellowship, then it isn't anything different than a baseball team. Yeah, there's no difference there. It's only you talking about God. But there's no Holy Spirit in it. Then it doesn't. It's a social activity. But we are not interested in a social activity. We're interested in God's spiritual reality. Like Halley's Comet. is a very real thing that operates a certain way. So God's kingdom is on the earth, and he's asked us to live by faith in him. When we live by faith in him, then the Holy Spirit will be our teacher, and we'll find the satisfaction and the peace. Verse 6, their webs shall not become garments. Have you ever walked through a spider web? When you walk through a spider, what's your body language like? What? You feel one strand goes across your face here, and you just, you just, is it a good garment? Is it more of an irritation than it is a covering? Does it really give you any comfort? Do you feel like, oh, that's warm and cozy? Oh, that really works great. I love the spider web. That's a great covering for me. Why does it say that it's a bad covering? Well, there's nothing to it. It's more of an annoyance than it is a solution. So many of the lies that we hear in our world today are just something you want to get rid of. I'm not interested in that. That's a spider's web. That will not cover me when I have a problem. That will not cover me when I'm cold. That will not cover me when I'm confused. That is not a solution to me. That is a spider web that is woven by our, do you understand what I'm saying? By our own people that are telling us what it is that we need or how we should think. And we're saying, that doesn't make sense. There's a curriculum by educators in the States that are trying to break down the biases that we have in our culture. And one anti-bias group of people that they're trying to break down the negative bias is witches. So in the core curriculum at the lower grades, the teachers are teaching that witches are actually nice people. They are like old women that care for you and will give you herbal remedies for your sicknesses, and that's what a witch is. But actually, we read in the Bible, and we also see in history, and know even in the present world, what are the fruit? Is it a good tree or a bad tree? We are not, we love people, by the way. But we are not hard, cold people, but we are people that are interested in Halley's Comet, what it means, what guilt is, what is spiritual life, what did Christ say, who is the good shepherd, and how he leads us in a difficult world, where we are being lied to and our children are being lied to regarding homosexuality, another issue. And again, I'm not trying to be or saying these things cold and hard. We love these people. We are here to pick up the pieces. We're here to pick up the pieces of the damage that happens in our world. The AIDS virus, so there's no problem there. Well, these people suffer and have problems, and sometimes it is connected to their lifestyle, not always. And we love them and care about them. We have a message for them. Look at verse 6. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity. The act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not. There is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goes therein shall not know peace. They say peace, but do you know peace in your life? as we live with, I just gave a list, abortion, AIDS, children education, legalizing marijuana, encouraging adultery, atheism. Is there any wonder that the teenage suicide rate increases with many of these influences that are in social media, in the rock world, in the drug world, and so on? These are poisons. So I think we all know this. The chapter gets good, gets better. Verse 9. There is judgment from us, therefore is judgment far from us. Neither does justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity, for brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind. We grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. Have you ever been there? I have been there, was a young man, not being saved, not having Christ, not a particularly bad person, but I knew what it was to wonder what is going on and have big questions that God has put in our hearts, like the law of life that we're talking about. People ask why. We know how Halley's Comet. We know how it is. We know the how of science in some way. We know what is happening and maybe can explain it, but we don't know why. Why am I here? Why do I even know about Halley's Comet? Why do we even have mathematics and we can examine and study? Why do we have guilt and ask the question, why are we here? C.S. Lewis said, because I have a stomach, then I know what food is. And because I have these questions, then I know who God is. Because I am made for God, then I am looking for God in our lives until the lies hijack us and say, there is no God, sit down and have your breakfast. There is no God, sit down and listen to my psychology class. There is no God, sit down and study, and so on. There is no God, pat your dog, kiss your your dog good night. That's all. We grope. These are people here. You know, when Billy Sunday started preaching in the 1910s, 1920s, there were the Roaring Twenties, great prosperity, also great adultery, a great drunkenness, great worldliness came into the American culture. But Billy Sunday was raised up to give a message, closed down pubs and saloons. Men returned to their children. Men returned to God. They returned to faith. And there was a period of time. Then came World War II and severity. Well, after the Depression and after World War II, God raised up another man, Billy Sunday, another Billy. And he gave a message, and America was fascinated with his message. In the time of material prosperity, there is an easy direction away from God. But God says, I know that you are groping in darkness with lies and cockatrice eggs that are hatched in your lives. And I'm giving you a covering. I'm giving you an answer. If you jump down, verse 14, judgment is turned away backward, justice stands afar off, for truth has fallen in the street, inequity cannot enter. People want to say that, truth has fallen in the street, and don't talk to me about this. College campuses, it seems the disparity between the world views is broadening more and more. This transgender thing is ridiculous. that a child would wonder what bathroom and even encouraged to go to another bathroom, that is ridiculous. Actually bordering in absolute foolishness. But our people want to have that? Is truth fallen in the street? I once saw a very attractive woman in another country. She was walking through the bus place and she slipped on the ice and she fell so hard. She went 180 degrees from just upside down and was on the ground with blood on her face. And we went over to help her, and I thought of truth falling in the street. It cannot happen, but it does. Not in the absolute sense, just like Halley's Comet will not break the rules. And truth is truth, and you cannot go against God. But in another way, we could pretend. We are happy, aren't we? Isn't this a great time? Yeah, let's. Are we having a good time? No. In my heart, I'm empty. I'm smiling with you and partying with you, but deep in my heart, I am empty. Maybe worse, I am guilty. Maybe worse, I'm totally lost. I'm alone. Maybe worse, I'm following a lie. I'm eating your poison, and I don't appreciate it. Truth has fallen in the street. At the local high school, in the government buildings, truth has fallen in the street. At the university, truth has fallen in the street. At the local club, at the party, the society, at the high levels, truth has fallen in the street. I read a story about this man. He was a high government official. And he I think it was an Iran-Contra affair. It had to do with Ronald Reagan's government, and he was caught somehow, and he was suicidal. And somebody sent him an old classical movie called It Was a Wonderful Life. Maybe you know that one. He put it in. He watched it. It had God in the movie. God was in the movie. God was there. The man was in despair, wanted to take his life. An angel stopped him from doing it. And maybe you know the story, but the point is that the man made a decision, like in the movie. A good movie with a moral message that had an effect on somebody's life. That makes sense to us. But all this other stuff doesn't make. Truth has fallen in the street, and nobody seems to care. Look at it, verse 15. Yea, truth faileth. And he that departed from evil makes himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. Okay, let's finish. What's the answer? It's 16. He saw there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm, God's arm, brought salvation unto him in his righteousness, and it sustained him. He looked for somebody to stand against the whole tide. It wasn't anybody. I could say, the Lord could interview me, would say to me, can you stand? I'd say, no, Lord. I don't think I can stand against this tide. I don't think I have it in me. I don't think I even have the desire. I don't have the fortitude. I don't have the ability. And the Lord wondered that there was no man and no intercessor. So he came, his arm, Christ, came and brought salvation. Jesus came to a country like this, Israel. It was all just... you know, as we read in the prophets here, and Jesus is like, got a breastplate. Look at verse 17. He put on righteousness as a breastplate, a helmet of salvation upon his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay. Fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, to the islands he will repay recompense. That's the second coming of Christ. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun, the east. When the enemy shall come like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. I think that's what we're talking about today. That we're watching these things. Actually, I'm kind of happy that it's so weird. Like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You're doing us a favor. Keep talking that way. Promote your stuff like you're doing. And people may wake up out of there and they may have a hunger for somebody who will tell them the truth. Maybe they will wake up and say, yeah, tell me, let me hear, what does Jesus Christ have to say about this world? What does he have to say? I want to hear a fresh message, pure as crystal, that comes from this Bible that is pure. I want it in my wicked heart to be changed. The birds know where to go. The fish know where to go. Jesus knows where to go. And here's good news. So do you now. He came that we would not be swallowed up in the crazy, idiotic lies that are here. There is no guilt. That's all religious stuff. No, I'm telling you, sir, it is guilt. I know what guilt is. And I got material here about the ladies that have, the dear ladies that have had abortion and the negative consequences and the organizations that are there to help them to pick up the pieces of a broken soul, of a disturbed heart. Because my head is sick and my heart faint, because that's what sin does to us. But when you meet Jesus Christ, you don't find a sick head and a faint heart. You find some fire, peace, correction, direction, wisdom, purpose. He's walking. You better look out. He's coming your way. That's the thing that has kept America, brought revival into this country, and changes my life. As a young lost man in your life and millions of people, and he's working everywhere in the world. Guys, we're sick of the cockatrice eggs. Look out, there's a whole new batch coming. Look out. Break them, get rid of them before they hatch, because they are nasty. Get rid of the lies before they hatch. Have something else deep in your heart. You know, if you took the car on a misty, foggy morning, and out of the car comes the voice of your teacher, what finish the story? And couldn't it be that a third or fourth or fifth grader would say, and the voice of my teacher, the car couldn't start, and she was in trouble, but she looked to God, and she said a prayer, and God sent somebody to help her and deliver her from her trouble. And she was used in a beautiful way because she is a dear, precious woman and made in the image of God. What if a third grader wrote some short story along those lines? Well, what is going on? That is not happening. Because it's garbage in, garbage out. But we don't have to talk about third graders. We have to talk about ourselves. Garbage in, garbage out. Get a grip. The Christ came. Jesus is alive. He's risen. We are here in his presence. To understand what he thinks and to find the peace. And let me finish with this one. Your life with Christ is so real, so important, that we labor day and night with many sisters and brothers around the world as agents of God, parts of the ministry, and every one of you is valuable in that work. We are here to be helping and provoking each other in the faith. We are here to be sharing our message with people that are groping for the wall. We are here to have a counseling hotline, an emergency call where suicidal people can call in or heartbroken people. We've done that in Hungary, hundreds of calls a month. In Finland, many calls in a period of time, depending how we advertise it and how it goes. But it is precious. People are groping. But please, get a sense in your own life. Jesus is here for me. I can feel it. I know it. I'm trusting Him. Maybe I have my hard times too, but God will help me and lead me through it. And ultimately, I will know. I will lie down in peace. I'll be okay. God will help me. He'll heal me from my wounds. He'll guide me in my confusion. He'll take care of me. I'll fear no evil, for Thou art with me, and Thy rod and Thy staff, they will comfort me. I know that when I sin, I know what it is, and I do not deny it, hide it under the carpet, and say it's not real. I know it is, and I bring it to Him, and He takes care of it. It is gone and gone forever. It's over. We need help. Our country needs it, our people, our towns, everywhere. Don't back off, don't be shy. Don't worry about it. Learn how to talk to people and love them. Say, how are you doing? Talk to them. Listen to them. A soul winner is a good listener. Listen to them. And then share your love with them. And say, I understand. I understand. But let me tell you a secret about life. God made you. God made the world. Get in His plan. Walk in His program. Walk with Him personally. Trust Him. And there are laws that He has. And you will find yourself as you walk in that world where Christ and the universe, they fit together. And you'll find that your life will be, there will be something about you. There will be something about your life. There will be something there that the world does not have. We have found it by trusting in Him. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? This is a short prayer for anyone here today who would like to. And I say that not as though it's a option, you must be born again, but you have free will and you make this decision yourself, and it's between you and God. But you must put your trust in Jesus Christ in this way where you say, I do believe in You. I'm trusting You today. Show me. Lead me. I need You. It's not narrow. It's actually broad. It's broad. It works. It's real. It's not cold and hard and tough. No, it's amazing. It's like it's love. It's love, and the Spirit is love. And the love will guide you, forgive you, show you, teach you. Say, Lord Jesus Christ, I trust in You as my Savior, personally. Lord Jesus Christ, I trust in You as my Savior. Anyone saying that prayer, would you just raise your hand? The ushers will give you a booklet. Anyone at all here in the auditorium, say thank you. There is a hand there. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. God bless you. In the early service we had, and then now, thank You, Lord. And may they know You. May they live all their lives by Your grace and know You. And we fail. We're not perfect people, but through Christ, we've been made righteous, and now the Spirit will guide you and show you. You can talk to Christ. He will answer. You ask, and He will give. In Christ's name, amen.